SBS Radio.
Well, we do work very much on the front line here in the inner west of Sydney. So one of our main programs working with people experiencing homelessness is with people who are living in boarding houses, which are also called rooming houses in some states. And a lot of those people are in and out of those boarding houses and between the streets and hospitals and jails, unfortunately. So a lot of our work is with those people, to work with them to get them into more stable, safe and secure accommodation. And we also work with people in our area who are sleeping rough on the streets of the inner west of Sydney.
What's the state of homelessness when we go into the specific issue regarding Indigenous people around the neighbourhood?
Unfortunately, as I'm sure many people know, or if they don't, we need to know that the Indigenous population is the most severely impacted by homelessness. And it's often said that as many as 30% of the people experiencing homelessness are Aboriginal people. And as we know, that many more than, you know, around 10 times more the Indigenous population. So that's a real blight on our country, that our Indigenous original peoples of this land are the people who experience the most extreme homelessness. So this is something that we do think is a really high priority for attention. And in our own services and in our own outreach to people who are on the streets, around about 14 to 15% of the people that we see, either in boarding houses or who are rough sleeping, are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians.
What would be the explanation for this?
Unfortunately, I think a lot of it does come back to original dispossession in terms of the land. I think the fact that people have lost, obviously, connection to land and culture you know, I think a lot of it comes back to that history. I think the impact of racism and discrimination. This is something that we do feel very strongly about here in Newtown, and we have certainly signed up to and encourage other agencies like ours to sign up to the Accord for Redressing Aboriginal Homelessness. And we've also adopted our own apology here too from Newtown Neighbourhood Centre, because we do believe it's that history of dispossession, colonisation and the current discrimination and racism that does impact the significantly high rates of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander homelessness.
When researching this topic, I saw that around 2017, Newtown Neighbourhood Centre actually helped about 500 people in 2017 to go from homelessness into some form of more secure accommodation. What are the figures now, 2 years down the track? Has it improved, or have you been able to put more people into housing?
The sad thing is that the rates of homelessness are, unfortunately, as we saw in the recent census, they're only increasing. And this is largely due to the lack of safe, affordable housing and appropriate housing, I would argue, when it comes to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, that housing needs to be designed and developed in ways that are determined by those communities, not by the mainstream community. So, look, we are still facing a major shortfall in being able to actually house people. But I would say one of the things that we are particularly pleased about just in the last few months in Newtown, because we started a recent program of reaching out to people who are rough sleeping, whereas last year we were able to assist in housing only like 5 people who are rough sleeping right here on the streets of Newtown. Yeah. In the first half of this year, we've been able to house 12 people.
Yeah.
And we're hoping, obviously, to do even better than that over the next half of this year. But what we're really conscious of as well is it doesn't just end with a house. People need a community. They need connection. They need to feel a sense of belonging. And that's why we have to address the broader issues in our society around reconciliation, because we need to make sure that people don't just get a roof over their heads. They have a sense of respect and recognition and belonging.
Yeah, because when people see homelessness, getting a house is not just the end of it. They really go through a lot of complex issues, like, as you said, you mentioned earlier, some just out of jail, and they may be coming out of broken families or experiencing other social traumas and health traumas as well. So it's not just housing. So housing is just one aspect of the issues that they go through. Yeah, and over the years, what's the trend you're seeing in the people who fall into this scourge of homelessness? So what new things do you see happening?
Well, I think some of the new trends that we're seeing are, unfortunately, again, growing numbers of young people and women, particularly women over 55.
Yeah.
Who are falling into homelessness, and that is one of the newer things that we're seeing. Even on my own street at the moment, there's a woman who's been living in her car for some months. That we're trying to assist her as well. But you know, this is a new trend that we're seeing. It's really concerning, and as we know, particularly for women, they've often been financially disadvantaged over the years. They don't have the same. They haven't earned as much. They don't have the same amount of superannuation in their accounts, and so that's something that we're really increasingly concerned about.
But what I see, having moved, I lived in Sydney for many years, over 20 years, and just moved to Melbourne recently. What I can say is that in Melbourne, homelessness is visible. It's in your face. You see homeless people in the city around the main train stations, like Flinders Street Station, or everywhere in the city. You face homelessness and you face social issues. They're right there in your face. Whereas Sydney tends to hide them. You don't see homeless people in the streets of Sydney. Is it that the city is trying not to make them visible?
Well, I certainly think the city of Sydney, for example, has invested a lot in trying to address street homelessness, and there's a number of things that are happening in Sydney at the moment that are focused on reducing the numbers of people who are sleeping on the streets. Last year I was in San Francisco, and when you're in a city like that and you see so much visible street homelessness, it's pretty confronting in a developing country to see that kind of level of street homelessness. And I came back thinking, we must never get to this point. One of the things that we've done in terms of, because there are still people visibly sleeping on the streets here, one of the things we've done is recruit and train a group of volunteer community outreachers who were concerned, because we had community members saying, I'm concerned, I don't really know what to say or what to do, whether to interact with someone.
Yeah.
And we've actually trained a group of people to be able to do that. And they're the eyes and ears of the community. So they're keeping an eye out, not just on the people, as you say, who are maybe visibly sleeping on the street, but they're keeping an eye out on, I've noticed someone who's in their car on our street or in a van on our street. And they're letting us know, if they're seeing people, and they're also feeling more confident now and capable of actually connecting and saying hi. And that's that sense of belonging again.
Yeah.
People need to feel some degree of trust before they're inclined to connect with services and be assisted, particularly if you've experienced major traumas or you've got serious mental health issues or drug and alcohol concerns. Then it's not always easy to trust and connect with other services.
I was reporting on this issue last year, and there are also veterans are also being more and more, they're being pushed into homelessness, which is something that we should be appalled about, because these people gave their lives, they sacrificed part of their lives fighting for the nation or defending the nation, and then having them end up in being homeless is something that we should all be appalled about.
Absolutely, they are very overrepresented, and that's where we would also say that's why it's important that all the services are connecting with each other, so that hospitals and mental health services and, we're all connecting with each other. And that's something we try to really focus on here, is not just working alone, but working in partnership with those other services that are in the system,
yeah,
to make sure that it's actually that individual we're concerned about, not just dealing with our little bit of it, as you say, the housing part, but making sure all the parts of the system are connecting to support that person.
Before I let you go, because I know I was told not to hold you up a lot, it's a topic that is actually I'm passionate about, but we could talk endlessly. Just one final word of recommendation, or just what would you have to say and tell our listeners?
Yeah, well, look, what I would love to say is, and this came out, we had a sleep out the other night in Newtown of community members, about 112-odd community members slept in Newtown Square to have just a small amount of that experience of what it might be like to sleep rough. And in doing so, they've already raised a lot of money and are continuing to try and raise money. It's our utopiansleepout.org that people can jump on and have a look at. But what came up at the end of that, in terms of, there was a great question from someone, which was, well, what can we actually do? What can we do today? What can we do tomorrow about this? And the answer from some of our volunteers who've been involved in reaching out to people was, connect with people, say hi, show you care, but also advocate around the lack of affordable housing, advocate to raise the rate of new starts so that people don't fall into homelessness because they can't afford to pay the rent. So I think there are absolutely things people can do, and we would encourage people to take whatever small or big action they can. Just connect, donate, or sign up and advocate for change in our system.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because among my colleagues and around my network, people just say, when we see people like Kevin Rudd or other celebrities, CEOs, big executives are sleeping rough just for a night or two to experience what other people do, experience every day is the other people's livelihoods. People just see these as gimmicks and things that it's just politicians trying to make themselves or CEOs trying to just show that some form of corporate social responsibility, whereas they might not care at all. But it's glad to hear you say that, well, it matters, and it has a positive effect, actually.
Absolutely, and we certainly saw that with all the people who participated. They were so much more motivated to find out what they could actually tangibly do. And we know it makes a difference to even just do that simple act of connection, acknowledging someone, saying hello, smiling, checking in, asking how they're going. Yeah. And that's something that we want to do as a neighbourhood centre, is build that community capacity and confidence to care, you know. And I know there are a lot of community members who do genuinely care, and we want to harness that.
Yeah.
In all the bad stuff that's going on in the world, we know there are people that care.
sbs.com.au